Yeah, today's daf is daf memches. Is that correct? Everyone's on the same page? No?
Not me.
Not me? Okay.
Yes.
The memches, fine. It's been a long time, so let's begin the new daf. The mishnah begins on top. Mishlo bichur ishto v'yalda shnei zecharma. Person whose wife had never had children before, and she gives birth to twin boys. Great. Mazel tov, mazel tov. So nosin chamisha shalom lekoin, so she has to give five slum, or he has to give five slum to the Kohen, even though they may not know who is the oldest, who's not. Certainly one of them is the oldest, one of them is a Bechor, and there's a mitzvah to give the five slum to the Kohen. Let's say Meis Echomhem, one of the twins die, and now the question becomes the one that's alive, we don't know if he was the Bechor or not the Bechor, so that's a suffix. So the Gemara says, if he's Meis Echomhem, Besoch Shloshim Yom, if the one of the twins die within 30 days, so then Ha'av Pater. The father is pater because since it's a suffix and it's a motzim mechavila araya, so therefore he's pater from giving any money until the Kohen could prove that the one that's alive is in fact the older. Let's say mesa av vabanim kaimim. Let's say the father dies and the children are still alive, so we're going to have to deal with in the Gemara. Does this take place if the father dies besoch shloshim or the father dies la'achar shloshim? So we're not sure yet, but either way, the Mishnah presents it as when the father dies and the children, both the twin boys, are alive. Rabbi Meir Omer, im nosnu ad shlo chalku, nosnu. Vimlapturim. So what happens is when a father dies, so the Yerusha remains in an estate. Now it remains in an estate until they divide up. So let's say lo chilku, wasn't divided, it remained in this entity in this estate, and then the estate had paid the money to the Kohen because it was its own partnership, if you will, by the children who haven't yet divided it. So im nasnu, if they gave the five shalayim ad shlo chilku before they divided amongst the twins, so then nasnu is considered good nesina, and therefore they're chayiv to give a nesina, they're chayiv to give, and that fulfills the mitzvah. But im lav, let's say they didn't give the Kohen before the division, they divided up. So then they're Paturin, they're Pater. And we'll see in the Gemara why, because if the Kohen goes to A, he said, it wasn't me, it was B, right. And B, it was A. And therefore the Kohen doesn't have a good Taina, for that reason they're Pater from paying. But comes along with Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nischaivu and Nechasim. Granted, perhaps the children individually are Pater, but the property still has a Sheba. There's a Sheba in the property that existed prior to the father's death, and therefore even after the death, the lien remains, so the Kohen does have a Taina to collect it. So we're going to see in the Gemara how to play out this, how to understand this machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mishnah concludes now, Zachar and Akeva. Let's say this woman gave birth to twins, but one was a boy, one was a girl. So then, Ein Kan Lekoin Klum. Since we don't know, we can't figure out whether the Bechor, the boy, was the older of the second one, so therefore he has no strong Taina, and the father's Pater from Fang. Okay, so this is the Mishnah. So the Gemara begins now, Demes Ha'av Ema. So we had in the Mishnah this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Meir said depended whether they divided the property or not. And Rabbi Yehuda says even if they divided the property is still obligated to pay. So at what point did the father die? Demes ha'av emas. Elam, if you're going to tell me demes la'achar shloshim yom, if the father died after the 30-day period, we know the chiyuv to give pidyon haben exists, it kicks in after the child's 30 days. So the 30-day point came, and the father hadn't yet paid the five shlum, and then the father dies, well then, baha, I'm a Rebbe Meir, ki chilku paturin? So would Rebbe Meir say in this case, if they divide the property after 30 days, and then you would exempt the children? So what happens is as follows. Father dies. 30 days go, the father didn't pay yet. The father dies on day 31. So now there's obligation for the estate to pay the money. So now if they divided the property without paying, so the division would now exempt the property, the estate, from paying? Isn't there a lien that the Kohen already has on the property? How is their division able to remove them from that obligation? So the Gemara says, Ella, therefore it must be a situation, demes besoch shloshim yom, where the father died within the 30 days of birth, and since it's within 30 days, there is never a chiv yet on the property, and that's why they're pater. So now the Gemara says, wait a second, if it's a situation where the father died toch shloshim yom, so maishna kilchilko, so why does Rabbi Meir say the only time the children are pater is only if the children divided the property up? But why? The azil legabi hai umadchilai. If the Kohen goes to child A and they ask for money, he says, it wasn't me, it was my brother. And the azil legabi hai, if he goes to child B, he says, it wasn't me, madchilai, it was my brother. And therefore he has no taina. But kilo chilku. But when they didn't divide it, Nami, the same thing could happen. So even when the brother, even prior to the division, they could still make the same exact claim because the chiyuv didn't exist yet on the property. The property hadn't yet been divided yet. So it doesn't make sense to say it depends on whether there's a division or not a division yet. So therefore, we're still trying to figure out what exactly or when are they arguing about between Rabbi Meir and Behuda. So Gemara says now.
Babies, and usually said it's an apotropos, and he is the one who manages the whole. He cannot say anything.
Why can't he? He could represent the children.
He could. He represents the father, not the children.
No. He's also there to protect the children as well. So the children were older. Let's say they're gedolim, which could also be the case. Let's say they never paid until the gedolim. The gedolim can make such a taina. So I believe the apotropos can make the same taina. No, that's when the father died.
Let's say the father died, and then let's say 20 years later.
So if they make the claim, you know, when 20 years later, they can also make the claim even when they're younger.
Right.
Okay. So then the Gemara says, so what's the case, again, where the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah says it does follow. Zosamer. So this is what we learned from the Mishnah. That Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, let's say you have two people, the same name, Shehayu Bir Achas, they live in the same city, V'lakhu Sadeh B'Shuzvah, so they buy a property with as partners, and then one of them, the Baal Chov, one of them owes money to someone else. So Baal Chov gove also mehem. The Baal Chov is able to buy, to collect the property collect that field from this partnership. Why? Damle, the Baal Chov says, Ibididach Masikna, if from you, you owe money to me. So manta didach kal sheklin, I'm taking the money from you. I'm taking $100 worth of the field. And if Yosef A is you owe me money, so then I'm collecting from your property. Vi bechavrich masikna, and if I'm collecting from your friend, so then manta dechavrich kal sheklin, so then I'm taking money from him. So we see from this case, so that so long as it wasn't divided, as long as there's a certain level of partnership, you are able to collect from them since it's viewed as a unit. That's the chiddush that Rabbi Yirmiyah says from this. If they divide it, so then each one could push them off. But once they own it, b'shutfis, so then there's no pushing aside. That doesn't really work. So the Gemara says that still doesn't make so much sense. Because Amar Rava says, Michli, let's understand this for a moment. What's exactly going on here? We know sometimes you could collect directly from a person. You could collect from the lover directly, and then sometimes you could collect from the arev, who is the cosigner. Now, there's a thing we're going to see in the Gemara. I'll just say this outside for a second. You're not allowed to collect. If you can't collect from the lover, then you can't collect from the arev either. So, in this case, if you can't collect from each individual, and if they were to split the property up, I can't collect from Yosef A, and I can't collect from Yosef B. So, when I'm putting them together, so when I'm collecting the property, that property is serving as some type of lien, as some type of arev, and I can't collect from the arev either. So, let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Rava, Rava says, Michti. Nichse debar inish, the property of a person where I have a lien on, is ke'enana arvun bay. They're considered the property that has a lien on it. They're considered the co-signers. They're there to collect the money if I can't collect from the loaf himself. Now, mi ike mi dev, is there ever a situation, dilididei lo matzi tavilei ul ari matzi tavilei? I mean, the way Arif works is if Lover has no money, so then I could collect from the Arif, from the co-signer, from the with the leaners. But if the Lover has money, but for technicalities, I can't collect from him, so then I can't go ahead and collect from the Arif either. So again, me, Ika, me, is there ever a situation, I can't be Tovea, the Lover himself, Yosef A or Yosef B, I can't be Tovea, but the Arif, Matzi Tavile, but the Nechasim, which serves as the Arif, I can collect. V'hatzan, the Mishnah tells us in the end of Maseches Babas, a person lends money to Reuven with an Arev in place. You're not allowed to collect from the Arev. The kaim, let me hold. The lo yitba min ha'arev techila, meaning you can't be toveya from the arev techila. Of course, you could collect from the arev if the lova has no money. But to say, you know what, the arev is a wealthy man. The lova is going to take me, you know, it's going to be in court for weeks and months and stuff. I'd rather go for the arev first. He's a well-to-do man. You can't do that. First, have to claim after the lova, and then if he has no money, he can go after the arev. But to go techila after the arev, to go techila after the kark in this case, that doesn't work. So what is the situation here? Again, where are they arguing between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, where it's relevant whether they divided the Yerusha or not yet divided the Yerusha? So comes along, finally, the Gemara says, not finally, but the Gemara says, El Amar Rava, Rava says, I'll tell you the case here. The Gemara is going to make a number of assumptions here to give an explanation for the Mishnah. The Olam really to call a case where Shemes L'Acha Shloshim Yom. The situation where the father died after 30 days. So there's already a chiv that was chal on the property, that the property of the father owes money to the kohen. Now, if there's plenty of property, the guy's got a ton of real estate, you don't need that much, but more than 5 slime worth of real estate, the coin will go ahead and collect from the estate the 5 slime worth of property. But our case is a very tight case. Could go and delek el chamish slime. There's only 5 slime. He only had a property worth 5 slime. Okay, so what's the problem? And the Chuli Alma Islu, the Rav Asi, everybody holds a Rav Asi. Now, who's Rav Asi? There's a machlokas in general, how one views Yerusha. When the father dies and the children are Yorishim, are they viewed as Yorishim? Or are they viewed as Lekuchos? What's the difference? So in terms of timing, Yorishim are viewed as when the father died, they were always considered Yorishim from the beginning. They're just trying to be Mevayer, which property was always there. It was really Limafreya, they had some level of ownership. Lekuchos are no. The moment the father dies, when they divide the property from that Mikan HaLaba, they're considered Lekuchos. But before Lekuchos, they had no ownership. But Yerusha says, no, the moment the father died, they had a Yerusha to it. We just weren't sure which one is which. So when we divide it, that's telling us, Lemafreya, they already had a ownership Mishas Misa. That's machlokas in general. Rav Asi, however, is not sure whether the Lekuchos or Yerushin. And he paskins that the Chuli Alma Islu de Rav Asi, Dama Rav Asi, Ha'achin Shechalku, that brothers who divide the property, they divide the estate, Mechsa Yerushin, Mechsa Lekuchos. So half the value is viewed as Lekuchos, half the value is viewed as Yerushin. So now if you have a property of 5 Shlayim, and you're dividing it to half is now considered, so 2.5, 2.5 is considered Lekuchos. And 2.5 is considered Yerusha. That's how it's divided according to Rav Asi. We're not done yet with the assumption. And then further, going on the last line of the Amud here, the Chuli Alma, everyone also agrees, Milva Ksuva B'Torah, a loan that's said in the Torah, the Torah writes, is Lav Ksuva B'Shtar Damya. I mean a lova written in the Torah. So lova is when someone owes someone else money. So in this case, the father, Aviya Ben, owes money to the Kohen. That's called a lova. It's a milva. Now the Torah tells us we have to pay that. But even though it's written in the Torah, that does not have the strength of a ksuva b'shtar. Ksuva b'shtar, if I have a loan that I wrote a shtar that you lent me money, I have now liens on your property. Your nechasim mushubadim to me. But if it's written in the Torah only, that's not kishtar dami, and I have no shibud on your property. I have no lien on your property. So that's another assumption. And we're not done yet, still, on all these assumptions. Udechuyama, hopefully I put everything together at the end. Udechuyama also, everyone also agrees, Eina lehudra is lehudra papa. We hold her a papa. What's her papa shita? Damra papa milva al peh government yorshin ve'eno government lekuchos. So this case of the money owed to the kohen for Peter and Ben, it's called a milva al peh. It was a milva al shtar and it's milva al peh. Milva al shtar is when there's a document, and that we assume that you have rights to collect even from lekuchos. Right? If I have a milva al shtar, I have money, I lent Andy money, so now any property he owns now, even if he sells it later on, I can always pull it away from lekuchos. I've got a lien on all his property. But milva al peh, that we only have a verbal agreement, that I only have the ability to collect money from his property that's available now, but any money he's property he sold off, those lekuchos I can't collect. So we're saying here is that a pidyon haben, even though it's written in the Torah, is not kisuv b'shtar damya. It's a milva al peh. And a milva al peh, we hold like Rapapa, I can only collect from the Yorshin, but I can't collect from the Kuchos. So now, go and put everything back together now. So now, so-and-so has property, that he was Yorish from his father. And the property that the estate had was 5 slime only. Now if Asi holds, only half of that money is considered a Yorshin, half is considered a Kuchos. So now only 2.5 slime are considered Yorshin. And the coin could collect only from the Yorshin because it's Milva al Peh, so it could collect 2.5 slime from the Yerusha, and that's it. So that's this whole Machlokas. That's the case. So what is the Machlokas after describing this whole long scenario? So Gemara says, Hacha, 4 lines down in the Amud here, Hacha b'chamish v'lo b'chatzi chamish k'mifki. They're arguing about whether or not you could collect where there's a din of the Kohen collecting in 5 slime, or does he even collect from 2.5 slime? Perhaps the chiv, the obligation to pay the Kohen, is only true if you have 5 slime worth. But if you have less than 5 slime worth of property, perhaps you're going to be potter. So that's machlokas. So Rabbi Yehuda, sorry, Rabbi Meir Savar, chamesh v'lo chati chamesh. The only time there's a mitzvah of giving pidyon on a ben if you have the full five shlaim worth. Less than that, you're not allowed to. So if the children haven't divided the property yet, everything's now connected, it's a unit, so the five shlaim are available. So you give the five shlaim the property to the kohen. But if they divide it, imchilk, if they divide it up, so then there's only 2.5 shlaim of Yerusha, and 2.5 shlaim of Lukuchos, and there Rabbi Meir says, you're pater from paying the kohen. But according to Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Savar Chamesh V'afil Chatzi Chamesh, that five shlaim, and even if it's half the five shlaim, meaning even if it's only 2.5 shlaim worth of property, there still exists a chiv to pay whatever you can to the kohen. And that's the machlokas, at least according to this stage of the Gemara. A little bit confusing, or very confusing. Okay, the Gemara now says, Ihach, if that's the case, that this is the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nischaivu Nechasim, Nischaiv Gavra Mibaylim. Now, it seems from the text of Rabbi Yehuda, this would be inaccurate. If it's really true that we're saying that we pay five and even half five, so that tells us it's not really the property that owes the money. Because if the property owed the money, you should have to pay the full five shlaim as it was prior to the dividing of the Yerusha. Really what should be is, it's nischaiv gavra mibaylei, that the avia ben is chayv to pay whatever money is available, he has to pay. So the fact that it says nischaivu nechasim doesn't sound like it's going along the way the Gemara explained. And not only that, the Gemara says, if you owed, moreover, Tanya the Braisa teaches us that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'achin shechalku, the brothers who divide their property from the estate, if this one has 10, and this one has 10, chayavim nechayv to pay. If they don't have 10 to each, then paturim. So what exactly does Bryce mean? 10 to who? 10 to who? What does it mean? Asar zuz lazeh, asar zuz lazeh. So Gemara explains, what does it mean? Asar zuz lazeh, v'asar zuz lazeh. Elaim, if you're telling me that bein dirusha, bein lakuchos, if you're telling me that they all have in the aggregate 10 total, there's 10 of everything of the estate together. So when you divide up the property between Reuven and Shimon, now 5 goes to Yerusha and 5 goes to Lekuchos, right? That's Rav Asi. Remember, all the property, according to Rav Asi, the entire estate is viewed 50% Yerusha, 50% Lekuchos. So now you have 10 Zuz starting off, and now you divide 5 Zuz for Lekuchos, 5 Zuz for Yerusha, and then you divide further because now Reuven and Shimon split the 5 Zuz of Yerusha. Now you have 2.5 for Reuven and 2.5 for Shimon. So why does the Gemara have to explain a case where you start off with 10 zuz? My year yasar, why starting off with 10? Afilu batzir yasar nami. Even if you got a case of 9, 8, 7, 6, you still would have a scenario where in the end of the day, each of the children would have less than 5 shlaim. So that would be very strange to choose 10 asar zuz lazer, basar zuz lazer as the example. Ella must be a situation. Pshit, it's obvious we're talking about a case of asar zuz dirusha lazer, basar zuz Yerusha Zeh, 10 Zuz go to Reuven and 10 Zuz go to Shimon, and then they end up splitting it further. So, well, hold on a second here. So, really talking about a situation where they started off with 40 Zuz in the beginning, and then 20 Zuz were Lekuchos, 20 Zuz were for Yerusha, and then of the 20 Yerusha, they split between the two sons, 10 Zuz for him and 10 Zuz for him for Yerusha. And it turns out that, that now each 10 zuz, by the way, it turned out to be 2.5 shlaim. So when he takes 10 zuz from Reuven and 10 zuz from Shimon, it tolls 20 zuz, which is the same exact as 5 shlaim. That's the math. There's 4 zuz in a sella, so it turns out to 5 shlaim. So Alma, this is the only case of Yehuda says that the Kohen has an obligation, has a right to take. Alma, only because there's chamesh, lochatzi chamesh. But if there's less than 10 zuz for each party, he wouldn't be able to collect because we would say chamesh, lochatzi chamesh, esrile. So based on these questions, comes out from all this that the machlokas between chamesh, lochatzi chamesh cannot be the machlokas because we see clearly the Yehuda says that he does hold of chamesh, below Chatzi Chamesh. So what exactly is the machlokas again between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? I hope you're still with me. I know it's very confusing.
So even if they had, let's say, 19 and a half slime, okay, it's still less than 19 and a half zoos, it's still less than 5 slime.
And then according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be no din to pay the kohen.
Okay, so why 10? It could be 19. Meaning anything less than 5 slime.
No, this is a case where it says that this 10 is where there would be a chiv to pay the kohen. That's when he says there's a chiv. But if it's less than that, it wouldn't be. This is the minimum amount. Anything less than 10 zuz, if there's 9.5, let's say, for each child, for each son, then there would not be a chiyuv to pay.
Right, and 10 there is a chiyuv, but we said there has to be the full 5 slides.
No, there is, because 10 zuz for Reuven and 10 zuz for Shimon the Kohen, the two twins, so now that totals 20 zuz.
Right.
20 zuz equals
before
5 slides. No, after dividing. After it's been divided, if Reuven gets 10 zuz and Shimon gets 10 zuz after all the division, that's totals 20 zuz.
Right, which is 5 slime.
That's when there's a chiyuv. But anything less than that...
the two of them is a 5 slime. Okay.
Exactly. But Rabbi Huda said, but less than that, we wouldn't allow. There's no chiyuv. Therefore, we see Rabbi Huda holds chamesh velo chatzi chamesh. Chatzi chamesh you can't pay, which goes against the assumption we made above. So now the question becomes, where exactly are they arguing? When is the machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir? So Gemara finally gives us the answer. Ella, really, the machlokas is the chuli alma. Everyone holds of chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh, that you have to pay 5, and if there's less than 5, there is an obligation to pay. So what's machlokas v'hocha b'drasi v'papa kimlifki? They're arguing about whether you hold the din of when you divide property up, does it get divided half lekuchos and half yerusha, or does it go completely to yerusha, in which case there will be enough there. So again, if there's a situation where there's 5 shlayim, so if you hold if it's all yerusha, so you have to pay the 5 shlayim. But if you hold that half is lekuchos, half is yerusha, which means you only have 2.5 of yerusha, in which case there would be a ptur because chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. Okay, Gemara now says, Ikad Masi La Sefer. There are those who have this whole conversation on the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Sefer which said, Nischaivu Nechosim. Rabbi Huda said, even though Rabbi Meir said, when is there a chiv to pay the Kohen? When the father dies, it depends on whether or not there is a chiluk or not a chiluk. But Rabbi Huda says, no, even if there was a chiluk, even though there was a division amongst the Yorshin, Nischaivu Nechosim. So Gemara says, when's this case? The Meis Ha'av Emas, when did the father die? Elaim, if you're telling me the father died, the Meis Achar Shloshim, after the 30-day period is when the father died, Mechlad, the Remeir Savar, the Remeir would hold, Ki Chilku Pturin, if the children divided the property, there'd be a Ptur. How could that be? Hoy Shabilu Nichse, the moment 30 days came, there was a Chiv that was Chal on the property, and just because the father died, and just because the children divided, that's not going to remove the lien that already exists. So it can't be where the father died, Lachar Shloshim, Ella must be there for it. But so shloshim, the father died within the 30 days of the child being born. And ki chilku, so when the property is divided, amai mechayiv Rabbi Huda. So if the property was divided, so why would Rabbi Huda say you're chayiv? Now you have Reuven and Shimon each having a part of the property, and the coin goes to Reuven leitzel lagabihai lidchay. No matter who he goes to, whether Reuven or to Shimon, either way they're going to say it's not me, it's my brother. So even Rabbi Huda would agree if the father died within 30 days, there should be a ptur of paying the kohen. So what's the case? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Zosemer, this tells us we could learn from the Mishnah, conclude the following din, that Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, Shehayu Ba'ir Achas, if two Yosefs are in the same city, V'lokach Achah Mem Sadeh Mechaver, and one, not before we had a case where they bought a property in Shutvis, now it's not the case. One is where Yosef A bought property from Yosef B. And Balchov Gove Mimenu. Now the Balchov is able to buy the property from Yosef B, from the Lokeach. Why? The Balchov, the bank says to him, Ibididach Masikna, if you're the one who, he wasn't sure which Yosef he owes money to him. So if Lokeach, Yosef B owes money to him, say, if you're the guy who owes me money, so Ibididach Masikna, so Mansa Didach Kashikla, I'm taking the money from you. I have every right to take it from you. If I'm owed money from your friend, from Yosef A, who is the mocher, so the mishavli li b'kami didach. Well, that property which he sold you, I already had a lien on prior to your buying of the property. So either way, I have rights to the property, either because the lien from Yosef A, or now because you're Yosef B, and you owe money to me directly. So that's Rabbi Yirmiyah's understanding. And for that reason, bring it back now to our Gemara just for a second. That's why Rabbi Huda holds that when the father dies prior to 30 days, there still exists a chiv on the property. Now, and that's why you have to collect it. But according to, So now comes along the Gemara. So now Amarat Rava says, Michtit, understand this. Nichsohi devar inish in an arvin bay. Like we said earlier in the daf, that the person's property is simply a collateral, it's a cosigner, it's an arev of some sort for the property itself. Now, if you can't collect from Yosef himself, you can't directly go to Yosef A, you can't collect from Yosef B either, because either one's going to lezu madchi the gabi high. So then, if you can't collect from the lova himself, you certainly can't be tovea from the property, which is being viewed as the arev, and therefore, this is not the good explanation. And then the Gemara says, kula kilishna kama, and the whole back and forth like we had above, the questions and answers, is the same exact thing how they presented this on the Seifa of that Mishnah. Okay, let's now go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us now, in Amr Beis, towards the bottom here, Shtei Nashim Shel Bichu, you have two women who never had children before, and Yalda Shnei Zecharim, they were both Zocha to a firstborn boy. The din is Nosen Yud Slime Lekarim. They have to give 10 slime, 5 slime each, because each had a Bechor. Even though they may not know who was the Bechor, they mix up the children, but certainly they each had a Bechor and Omani. From the same husband, yeah. So then let's say, no sin as a son the current. Let's say, Meis Echa Meam, let's say one of the children die. So then, Besoch Shloshim Yom, within 30 days, which means there's no chiyuv for that father. So im lekarin echa nasan. So now this is the, let's say they pay the money up front. They pay the money, they jump the gun, pay the money before 30 days kicked in. So now the Kohen has 10 slime. But one of the children ends up dying before 30 days come, so now he owes 5 slime back to one of the fathers, but not sure which one. So they say, if he, the father, so it's one father here, one Kohen. So if it was given to one Kohen, so Nasan Yachzir lo chamesh slime, so then the Kohen has to give back 5 slime to the father. The father had 2 children, 2 Bechors, he gives back 1 because 1 didn't make it to the 30 days. Vim l'shnei Kohen Nasan, let's say the father gave 5 slime to Kohen A and 5 slime to Kohen B. And then his child dies prior to 30 days. So then the din is, Eina yachal lehotzim yadam, he can't take out because each Kohen could say, no, you gave me money for the one who's alive. And the other one said, no, you gave me money for the one that's alive. And since he doesn't have a good taina, he's not allowed to take money from either one. Let's say, Zachar Nekeva. Let's say the father and his 2 wives had a boy and a girl. Oh, Shnei Zacharim and Nekeva, or 2 boys and a girl. Venosin Chamishlam Lekarim. So there, for sure, one of the boys is certainly a Kohen. So there's a girl and a boy, so one of them's a Penny and a Ben. Even if there are 2 girls and 1 boy, if there are 2 boys and a girl, there's still at least 1 firstborn. So he gives 5 slime to the Kohen. Let yes, Shnei Nekevos V'Zachar, 2 females, 2 girls and 1 boy. In this case, it's very possible that the girl was the firstborn for both wives. Oh, Shnei Zacharim V'Shnei Nekevos, here as well. There are 2 girls. It's possible that the both boys are born second. Ein Kan LeKohen Klum, in this case, since there's no clear Raya, the Kohen isn't owed any money. So let's say now the husband has 2 wives, Achas Bichra, Achas Shel Bichra. 1 wife has had children before, 1 wife didn't. For Yal the Shnei Zacharim, they both give birth to a boy. So now you have a boy from the firstborn and another boy, which is a second child. Nosin Chamesh Shlaim LeKohen. So here you give 5 Shlaim to a Kohen, because we know for sure one of the boys was a Kohen, was a firstborn rather. Let's say Meis Echamim. Let's say he gives the 5 Shlaim before 30 days come. And then one of the children died, but they're not sure which child it was, whether it was the Bechor or whether it was the other one. So what's the din? So Meis Echamim, Besoch Shoshim Yom, Ha'av Pater. So then the father's Pater, because since we don't know if the firstborn son died or not, and there's no way to prove this, so he's exempt from paying any money. Meis Ha'av V'Banim Kayam. Let's say the father dies, and the children are still alive. So what's the case here? Within 30 days, let's say, I think Gemara is going to describe that 1 second. This is a case where
one was a bichor, one didn't.
So in the case of the 2 wives, and then
one was a bichor, and then she had 2.
No, I'm saying when did the father die? I'm saying within 30 days or without.
Within 30 days.
So you had to say that. So let's see.
B'tach shloshim yom, half patur, no?
No, but in the next line, Meis Av, let's say the father dies, Vabanim Kayamim, the children are alive, not sure which one it is, if the father died within 30 days or not, but let's see. Rabbi Meir Omer, Im Nasnu Achlo Chilke, if they prayed from this state to the Kohen prior to dividing the Yerusha,
Nasnu. Within 30, because after 30, everybody agrees in the previous Mishnah also that there is no question.
It could be. Just up until now, we've been talking about dying within 30 days.
Yeah.
So now we're just changing it to after. So you're probably right, because when the father died,
30 days is no question.
Right.
Right.
That was a back and forth from previous daf. Right. Okay. So then again, if they imnasnu achilochilk, if they gave the 5 slime prior to the Yorshin dividing the property. Nasna was a good Nasina, and the Kohen keeps the money. Vimlav, if let's say they divide the property, then Paturin, then each one's Pater, because the Kohen wants to collect money from either one, they're going to say, no, I'm not the Bechor, he's the Bechor, I'm not the Bechor, he's the Bechor, fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nishchaibu Nechasim, no, even if it's divided, there's a lien on the property, and the property, the estate, even after the division, has obligation to pay the Kohen.
I'm sorry, this is talking like before that he died after, but he only left...
Five slime. Right. Toast in the bottom here, the very last toast on the daf, he says, "Im nasu ad shel chilku tach shum tzichusa mai katani betarvayu pluksider mei Rabbi Yehuda." The same exact machlokas. Why repeat the same thing in this context? Unclear. So then the Mishnah says, next scenario. Zachar Nekeva, let's say two wives, one wife Bichra, one wife Lo Bichra, and there's a boy and a girl. So it's very plausible to say that the Bichra had a Nekeva, and the Lo Bichra had a Zachar, so there's no Chiv at all. Ain the Kohen Klum. The Kohen doesn't have any Taina. There's no Vaday Bichor here. Let's say you have Shtei Nashim, Shal Shnei Anashim. You have two wives, and now two husbands. And Shalo Bichra, both wives are Lo Bichra. So V'yal Du Shnei Zacharim, that both give birth to a boy. So there are two Bichors here. So each one gives a kohen. Each father has an obligation, even though they don't know who their son is, but they certainly had a bechor lekohen. Let's say one of the bechor dies within 30 days. So now one of the husbands deserves his money back. One of the fathers deserves the money back. So even if both parties gave the money to the same kohen, so the kohen gives back five shlamim to both fathers, and then they could divide each one, because one of them is certainly pater. In the Shnei Kohanim, also, if they gave to two different Kohanim, you can't take money out, because you don't know which money was given to which Kohen, which psalm was attributed to which Kohen, therefore, next scenario in the Mishnah, Zachar and Nekeva, let's say again, two husbands and two wives, and both wives Shlo Bichra, and they give birth to Zachar and Nekeva, so here there's only one Bichor, we don't know who the father is though, so Ha'avos Ptur and their Pater, because each one could say, oh, no, I fathered the daughter, and the other one could say, also I fathered the daughter, the other one had the boy, and therefore there's no Taina, a good Taina the Kohen can make. But Haben Chai Liftos as Asma. However, the child himself, even though the father is exempt, he knows he's a Bechor, even though he doesn't know who his father is. And when the child gets older, he has an obligation to Poda himself. And next scenario in the Mishnah, Shnei Kevos of Zachar. If, let's say, the two husbands and two wives, both Shelo Bichra, and they have two girls in a Zachar. And it's very possible to say that the girls were the firstborn for both mothers. Oh, Shnei Kevos, Shnei Zacharim. Here as well, Ein Kan Lekohen Klum, he can't make a good Tainum. And the final case in the Mishnah is Achas Bichra, Achas Shelo Bichra. You have two husbands, and two husbands necessarily, but two wives. Yeah, Achas Bichra, Achas Shelo Bichra, Shel Shnei Anashim. You have two husbands and two wives. One wife is Bichra, one wife is Lo Bichra. And Yaldu Shnei Zacharim, they give birth to two boys, so one's a Bechor, one's not a Bechor. Zesh lo Bechora ishto nosen chamesh shlam the Kohen. This one whose wife never had children before, shlo Bechora, so he has to give five shlam to the Kohen. Let's say, however, if the Shzachar Nekeva, it's possible that the shlo Bechora was one that had in the Keva, and in that case, ein kan le Kohen klum. Okay, good. That's the end of the mission. Should we continue with the Gemara?
I think.
What do you guys think?
Okay.
So sure, to wait for tomorrow. Okay, we'll wait tomorrow. Everyone have a good Chodesh. Oh, you're leaving, you're going to...